And here we are. Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on AM 850 KFUO. Open Mic Friday, January the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2016. I would encourage you to phone as soon as possible. We always seem to get bundled up near the end. Numbers in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. Or you can phone this long distance number in St. Louis or anywhere else, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Okay, I do have an announcement. Yesterday, the Roman Catholic Church decided not to be going to Washington, D.C. because of the, 2 feet of snow that they're going to have there. And so we kind of waited a bit on that. And there will be an announcement on KFUO at 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock today, in order to find out about just what is happening. Okay, it looks like we have a call coming in right now. And we'll kind of go to that. This is, you know, the pro-life weekend, of course, with Roe v. Wade. And as you well know, 60 million babies have been put to death since Roe v. Wade. So just what's going to be happening in Washington, D.C., I was told there will be an announcement during the 10 o'clock program, so please tune in. All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk with Mike. Hi, Mike, you're on the air. Let me see. Probably because I've got to push this button. Hi, Mike. Mike, are you there? Mike? Oh, I don't know what's happening here. All righty. I'm supposed to have Mike on, but he doesn't seem to be coming unless he's on this line. Mike? Are you there? Okay, you're just going to have to phone back because at this point I can't seem to get you up.
Sure.
Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened. You were on line one.
I pushed the wrong button and I hung up.
Oh, okay. You hung up? All right. Well, goodbye, Mike.
Wait, hold on. That was an accident, though.
Oh, it was an accident?
Yeah. No, I accidentally hit. This is his phone I got. It's not a good phone. But anyway, to get
all right. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. What I was getting at was Luke chapter 4, verse 30, I think, where, you know, they were going to throw him off the cliff. You were talking about that.
Correct.
And then Jesus, it says he walks through the midst of them. Well, I never thought that was a mystery. I always thought that because they knew him and his family, they just lost their nerve to kill him. And he just simply turned around, and when he walked toward them, they just simply got out of his way. That's all, because they knew they didn't have the nerve to kill him.
It's kind of interesting that not long after that, they did have the nerve to kill him. He was crucified.
Yeah, but these were his hometown people. They knew him, though.
Well, that may be, but they were really angry at him because he refused to do the miracles he had done in a town that wasn't even Jewish. And so I can understand. Now, I am not going to say your interpretation is wrong, Mike. Except it's pretty clear, if you take a look at the text, that it says he just went through the midst of them. And so Jesus is given the credit for not being thrown over the cliff. Why wouldn't they have said, Mike, well, they were afraid to do it because he was one of them?
Because what happened was when they got onto the cliff, everybody got real quiet and nobody wanted to be the one to push him off. And then he just simply turned around and he just like walked right through him. And as he was walking toward him, they just simply got out of his way. But actually the reason they wanted to kill him was because he insulted them because he was like saying that Gentiles were better than they were. And I mean, that's the reason why they really wanted to kill him.
Now, you don't really believe Jesus said that.
Of course he did. Don't you remember when he was like talking about the woman in Zidon, and then he talked about Naaman? I mean, that's what they were really mad about.
You know? He was not saying that Gentiles were better than Jews.
Well, that's what he implied.
No, not at all. They may have misunderstood him, but he was simply making the point that, you know, why are you expecting a miracle? Because in the days of Naaman, he was the only leper that was healed. And the widow at Zarephath, remember, she received the miracle of food, and she wasn't a Jew either, or of Israel. So that's the only point he was making, because Jesus also is the author of Galatians. There's no distinction between male or female, Greek or Jew.
I don't think they would have seen it that way, though.
Yeah, I see your point, and I appreciate your call, Mike. And, you know, this is something I said to a Bible study that really surprised them. And Mike gives me the opportunity about that, namely Jesus walking through them. Here's what I said. It is not necessary that every pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have the same interpretation on every verse in the Bible. And of course, they thought I was saying that therefore some pastors can be against the Bible. No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying, and let's use this as an example. It is clear that somehow Jesus was not thrown off the cliff. My understanding is that either was because he just walked through them and they couldn't touch him, or there was a miracle involved. And when I say a miracle, remember there was a miracle when they were in the upper room and Jesus, in a sense, walked through what? The windows, the doors, and the walls to appear before them. The text is pretty clear. But passing through their midst, he went away. Now, is it possible that Mike is correct? That he just walked through and then they just lost the desire? Now, the text doesn't say that, but I'm not so sure I can say that Mike is absolutely wrong. But does that make him a false teacher? No. You can have a text and it may have some different interpretations or applications. And if the text isn't clear as to what it is precisely saying or how to interpret it, then you have a freedom among pastors that they can give different interpretations. This particularly occurs with parables. For example, a shepherd goes out to find sheep. He finds a sheep, puts it on his shoulders, carries it home. Okay, what's the interpretation? There are some, if you look at their commentaries, that use this text to talk about how you, the Christian, should also be looking for the lost. Find them and bring them home to the Holy Church. I don't agree with that interpretation. I believe instead this is a parable about how Jesus saves you, a lost and condemned creature. He finds you. He picks up your sins. He carries them to the cross with joy. In fact, the word joy is found both in Luke 15 and in the book of Hebrews. For the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame and went the way of the cross. So, who's right? Now, I believe my interpretation fits better with the text and the context, but I'm not going to bring charges against somebody who uses Luke 15 to talk about, well, we need to find the lost. We need to talk to them. We need to bring them to church. See, what I would do, I would point out that we don't do that by putting them on our shoulders and carry their sins to the cross. We do that according to Matthew 28, baptizing and teaching. In other words, the means of grace are word and sacrament. So in that sense, I would have a different interpretation. But I'm not going to bring charges against a pastor who uses Luke 15 to encourage us to find the lost, as did Jesus. So that's just kind of one example of hundreds. Now, there are some passages that we need to agree on the interpretation and the application. Let me think about the Lord's Supper. There we have a very clear passage. This is my body. This is my blood. What does that mean? It means, and we're just about ready to take another phone call here. I see it up there, but I can't get to it yet. So 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. And let's go to the phone lines and talk with Marilyn. Are you on? Oh, boy. I'm having trouble today with these, and I'm not sure why. Hello, Marilyn? Nope, she's not coming through yet. So we'll have to wait a few more minutes and see what's wrong with the phone system here. Now, in Mike's case, he called twice. But I think something needs to be pushed down in the other room because it's not blinking yet. So Marilyn will be with you in a moment as soon as we can get you up on the air. Okay, the point I was making with the lost sheep, Luke 15, that there's something there that tells us Jesus is the shepherd. Because with joy, he takes us to the cross. But unfortunately, I don't believe that it's really about us doing evangelism. But I'm not going to bring charges against somebody who disagrees with me on that. Okay, we're waiting for Marilyn to come up again. Uh-oh, we seem to have lost her. Call back, Marilyn, and we'll try again, see if we can get you on the air here. There seems to be a problem with our items. Okay, let me try here again. Hello, Marilyn? Nope, still not coming on for some reason. And let me try this. Hello, Marilyn?
Well, you have me.
All right. How can I help you?
And I was just talking away. I just had commented.
Let me say. Marilyn, just a minute.
Okay.
When somebody phones, just give your name and say you want to talk to Tom Baker. You don't need to give a subject or anything, and then they'll put you on right away. So don't be talking to the person answering the phone, because we've got other ones in line right now. So what's your question?
It seems like all the pastors from the Missouri Synod are very much in sync with each other. As I listen to all the different sermons and so on, my other comment, sure glad to hear your voice is back, but again, I'm asking about Israel. In the message this morning from the pastor, he was talking about the grace in bringing these people to Israel, and it was very confusing to me again. And if you would once again explain Israel has related in, obviously it was the New Testament with Paul. I'd sure appreciate it.
Well, what do we understand as Israel? Who is Israel today?
If you're talking geography across the world, I wasn't talking about that Israel.
No, it's in Romans chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul says, not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. What he's saying there, Marilyn, is from God's point of view, and that's the only point of view we want to look at, God considers the Christian church to be the new Israel.
Okay.
But just because you are related to Abraham doesn't mean that you're part of Israel. You have to be related to the faith in Isaac, namely the children of the promise, that is, those who believe the gospel, are the new Israel. So it has nothing to do with geography or anything like that. It's really talking about the church, okay?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Pastor.
And thank you. Okay, and let's go on down to Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Morning.
On this anniversary of the legalized abortion with Roe v. Wade, I wanted to ask you to clarify, as we were talking the other day, about the beatitude where Jesus says, do not resist the one who is evil, and that we're to, in this devotional I read, it said, repay evil with kindness. So obviously abortion is evil. And we're resisting the trend of abortion in society. Are we supposed to just make sandwiches for the abortionists and give them money, or should we resist them?
What you needed to hear was the pastor speaking on the Bates program prior to mine, well, prior to the devotion, where he was talking about how evolution also is a background for abortion. And he ended, though, saying that that doesn't mean that those who have had an abortion no longer have any hope. We need to reach out to them with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. So that's how I would understand that passage that you just noted. When it says, do not resist evil, it's talking about a one-in-one relationship. It does not be talking about public resistance, or else you can never have an army. When I was driving a taxi cab, I was robbed one day. Now, as the young boys ran away from the cab, I could have sped up and run them over. But then I would be put in jail because they were running away from the cab after they stole my money. I instead went to the police because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I used those that God had set up to find the young men, arrest them, and then take them to trial. So in that way, I was kind to them in not running them over and using what God says. But had they did have a gun on me. And if they had shot it and I had had a gun, I would not have been wrong to shoot back. And so if it's a public kind of crime, then we are not to be kind. But if it's private, for example, remember Jesus says, if someone steals your coat, give them your cloak also. In other words, you're trying to reach out to them. So I make a distinction. Theology is the art of making distinction between a kind of a public sin and a private problem.
Okay, but that's not clear in the scripture. And then further in this devotional, it says that we should repay evil with kindness. It doesn't say whether it's, you know, a public evil or a one-to-one evil. It just says repay evil with kindness.
Well, that's why scripture interprets scripture. In Romans 13, it's very clear that God has set up the government to execute wrath upon the evil. That's not kindness. But that's God taking over. So even in the state of Missouri where we live, if somebody came in the house and robbed me, and then they were running away from the house and I shot them, I would be arrested because I don't have the right to do that once the danger is over. So in that sense, I think scripture is pretty clear that when somebody hits us personally, we are not to take vengeance or revenge upon them, but let God take that vengeance or avenge them. All right, let's go on down the line and talk to Jan. Jan, you're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. A while back, you gave five godly reasons for marriage. And do you remember what they were?
No.
Okay.
Are you sure it was me?
Yeah, positive it was you. It was, and one of them was something to do with economic or financial consolidation and emotional support. I can't remember all five.
Well, I don't remember I would ever say financial consolidation, because in my case, I didn't have any money, and I got married because I needed money.
Well,
so that's not financial consolidation. I would never have brought that up as a reason.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is, to my mind, abortion is secondary to the sin of adultery. And I...
How do you mean that, secondary?
It's like, because the Sixth Commandment has been broken, abortion is the result.
No. There are a lot of married women who have abortions. They haven't committed adultery.
Okay.
And if you're talking about primary versus secondary, God makes no distinction between having an abortion and going over the speed limit. Both deserve eternal condemnation. Remember, all they did was eat a piece of fruit in the Garden of Eden, but God saw through that and recognized that every sin is rejection of God, rebellion against God. So there are no degrees of sin in regard to the spiritual realm. There are only degrees of wrongdoing in regard to the temporal realm. So if you rob a bank, you'll get a bigger punishment than if you rob gum from Walgreens. But from God's point of view, both of those robberies deserve eternal damnation.
So what about, I'm looking at Deuteronomy 22:20. And so that was actually what was behind my question. The sin of fornication is, I think, what's being punished here.
Well, you got to remember, in Deuteronomy, the various laws are in the civil realm. They're not dealing with eternal punishment. So it doesn't matter what those civil realms are, because they have laws concerning sexual immorality, and then there's punishment, etc., etc. But that doesn't necessarily mean that even these people are going to hell. For example, in the Lord's Supper, there were some people who, because they were taking it and not believing it to be the body and blood of Christ, were getting sick, and they were also falling asleep, which means they died. Yet, that word fall asleep is used for Christians. And so, therefore, these people, in my opinion, did not go to hell because of their misunderstanding of the Lord's Supper, but they did have a temporal punishment. And in Deuteronomy, these are not eternal punishments. These are temporal punishments. And so you really can't decide, in some cases, whether the person who gets punished for what was going on here is also going to hell eternally.
So there is a civil punishment for breaking moral laws.
Well, absolutely. If a child abuser will be put in jail for many years.
So this...
But he still may go to heaven.
Yeah.
Because he repents of it, comes to faith, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's so frustrating. I'm just saying that, you know, it seems like we focus on the legal ramifications that are secondary to our moral decay.
That can be. That's a good point. You should write a little paper on that and email it to me, because I'd be interested more in your thoughts. But I sure appreciate we're out of time, so I have to let you go.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye. You know, that's really, some of you have some really interesting understandings. Write them down and email them to me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's law and, that's A-N-D, gospel at law and gospel, and then the numbers 101.com. And I think you'd find it very interesting to take a look at some of that. And I will try and reply to those things. If you take the time to write something out, you know, I'm a pastor. I've got degrees behind my name. That doesn't mean I cannot keep learning. I mean, the Bible is so huge with so many insights. Every time I pick up a book, I find something, oh, I didn't know that before. And that's what I try to incorporate in the Bible studies. All right. Listen to the announcement about going to Washington, D.C. Should be coming up in the next hour for the pro-life march. Probably going to be canceled. And on Monday, we're going to be talking about pro-life because of one of the Bible verses. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.